Okay, good, good. That's wonderful. What does Genesis, just out of the blue, what does Genesis make you think of? The beginning. Okay. Anything else? Star Trek. Okay.
The Genesis Project.
Yes, yeah. It's even worse than that. The CAD tool that I work on at Intel is also called Genesis, and you know, it gets used again and again there. Okay, so Genesis is the beginning. It's the first book in the Bible. Chronologically, we think of it as being the first book in the Bible too, because it covers all that beginning stuff. It's also chronologically the longest book in the Bible. Talks about the longest period of time. We get all those histories going on from 4000 BC up to about 1500 BC, just in round numbers. Okay, so it covers 2500 years. Okay, almost as long as lectures in the second grade. You know, it is just a long time that gets covered within there. So that's kind of interesting about it. Let's go ahead. We're going to look at concepts involved with time in talking about Genesis right now. And these are just concepts. These are kind of different information points and things here. So I guess what I'm doing is making an excuse that this isn't a smooth-flowing, wonderful, logical progression of things necessarily. It's a little bit from here and a little bit from there. Got it? Are you staying? Okay, right. All right. So in looking and studying the meaning of time, as far as what the Bible gives to us, there can be some complication in doing so. One of the complications comes from the idea that when we look at the Hebrew and we look at the Greek, there's a whole mess of words that get translated into something as simple as time. Okay? And they all have slightly different meanings and you know, different nuances to them, but we just kind of get one thing. The first thing there, he said, well, that's not time, that's world. A number of those words, I think it's five each in Greek and Hebrew, actually mean time. They mean, you know, but they couldn't figure out how to get the translation to sound right. Remember, this has been around for a long time. Most of these words poke their way through the Septuagint. And if you don't know what that is, take OSL 3, and it'll be good, okay? And they translated it as world because it just seemed like that kind of a creation, that kind of a thing that was being talked about. But a number of the words really translate more into some sort of a concept of time. So that's interesting. Then when we get to things that are translated to time or times, it's a total of 28 different terms that get translated that way. Okay? English sometimes seems like kind of a pale language, you know? Time. That's it. That's what you get. But it could mean all kinds of other different things there. And understanding what root word was used in defining time and how it was used can make a total difference to how we might understand the verse or scripture that we're reading. Make sense? A lot of people can get confused over some of those things. We all can get confused over some of those things. The last one is a word that will be translated into season. And again, there's multiple terms that get used to define that word. Now, I'm thinking about time a lot here recently because I just had a birthday recently, and I turned the pastor's always talking about how old he is. You know, I just wanted to, yeah, because I just turned 28, and a couple of times. I just turned 59, and I gotta tell you something. I have concepts of how old 59 is. I don't feel like any of that stuff. Okay? I feel young, I feel youthful, I feel exuberant, you know, I feel good. Oh, let me get back over here. Yeah. You know, I just there's I think of myself collectively when I think about being with you all here, I think of myself as one of the youngins. You know, that, well, that can be a problem. Yeah. That's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. I don't want to complain about it. I have a secret ambition to live to be 120.
Come on.
Okay? Now, the world will tell you that this is not possible. Right? There's no possible way that can happen. And I may be fooling myself about some things, and I don't care to get into that kind of discussion, but I think I have faith for that. I read the Bible. I see where some of the people, long after guys were living for 900 years or 120 years and all, and there were still individuals that would live for an inordinately long amount of time. All right? And I'm just claiming some of that grace for myself, if the Lord tarries that long. Because when the bus leaves, I'm on it, okay? You know, that's my plan. Anyone else got that plan here? Amen. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about various units of time. We're not going to press this too hard. But we're all familiar with years and weeks and months and seconds and minutes and all that other good stuff. And we use that to help define our... That's too far. Karen, is there one before that? There should be. There we go. There we go. So there's many different units of time. We know units of time and we understand them. Well, do we understand them? We understand some units of time. We understand all the way down to something probably as small as a second, maybe a few seconds. Can anything important happen in a second? Absolutely. You know, you might turn the wheel and save the life of a person or anything else. I remember a story, a true story, about a fella, atheist all his life. I do not believe in God. Many friends told him about the Lord, told him that the Lord loves him, told him about salvation, told him the message that he needed to hear, and he positively refused to accept it. He was a worker way up on the very tall, high-tension lines that transmit power. And something happened, and he slipped. And he fell to the ground. And amazingly, he lived. But this is what's more amazing than that. He said, I got to tell you, I knew I was a goner. And between there... And there, I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. I knew the words. Seconds can be extremely important, right? Very, very important. And conceptually, it might be hard for us to understand time periods that are too long. Okay? Because we don't experience millennia. Okay? The old guys used to, right? The Methuselahs and all those guys, they used to live for 900 plus years. So maybe they could understand what 1,000 years was like. But we don't really have an understanding for it. We have an intellectual understanding of it. But none of us knows what it feels like to be around for 1,000 years. Okay? I don't know. I mean, I enjoy life and I like lots of things and I love food. But after, you know, 912 years of scrambled eggs again, huh? Whoop-de-doo. You know, things might get a little old. I don't know how that works, okay? So we for the most part, are limited to a couple of seconds to maybe about a century would be the furthest, biggest hunk of time that we could well understand. Now, we have lots of opinions about time. We have lots of ideas of how we're supposed to fit in time. How many of you are parents? Okay. We have lots of opinions of how our children should be spending their time. And we know it's not right what they're doing, right? So we have these ideas and we have these concepts. So those are our human usable time periods. Now, I work at Intel, and we don't measure things in years. We don't measure things in seconds. In fact, the biggest period of time, I work in an engineering group, and we actually design and build the circuits that go into memories and microprocessors. The unit of time is the base that I would understand would be a nanosecond, okay? And going on down to picoseconds and even attoseconds with that. How small is that? Well, we take a second, which is about that interval, and we divide it into 1 billion pieces, okay? And one of those is a nanosecond. It's the speed that would be suggested by saying something is running at 1 gigahertz. That's 1 billion pulses occurring within a second. Now, to give you an idea here, billion is a big number. Don't pay any attention to the national debt, okay? It's a big number, okay? Okay, how many of you are under 31 or younger? Okay, none of you have hit 1 billion seconds old yet. In less than 5 years, I will hit the 2 billion point. Okay, and I expect a party. And the history of mankind, no matter whose scale you use, is not even 1 trillion seconds old. Okay? So these are really big numbers and really small numbers, but you can't conceive of those things. You can't conceive of 1/1000th of a second. Okay? Intellectually you can, but in terms of experience, no. It's too small. Your electromechanical system takes too long to be able to interpret that and hear that. So time has some funny concepts with it. Back this past summer, we had two different Wednesday night lessons that were about time, and during one of them, we looked at this eye chart. Yeah, that one. Thank you. Okay, and this is showing the births and deaths of a lot of people. Way up at the left-hand corner there, that's Adam. Okay, the beginning of the bar is white, and then the rest of the bar is black. Okay, a lot of you didn't know that Adam changed race while he... No, that's not it. Adam went 133 years, and then he had Seth. So that's the coloration that's being used there to help denote what that is. And then he lived for 900 plus years. And then after 900 plus years, okay... That's what happened. And then you see Seth under there and Enos and all the other ones. And as we come way down here towards the bottom, we eventually get to Moses and Joshua, which are the last two short lines in that chevron shape that is there. So 900 years down to just over 100 years by the end. Moses lived 120 years. Joshua, I think, lived 110, if my memory is right, on there. So we see those differences in there. In terms of the gap, 4000 BC, that's Genesis 1-1, or what we think of as Genesis 1-1. Actually, it would be more like Genesis 1-3 on the first day, okay? Because Genesis 1-1 is actually before that period of time. We can go on for weeks talking about that. We won't go there. Okay? And if you look at the big split there, there's a couple of arrowheads, and it's covering 1,656 years. That's the time from the beginning of the first day of creation, the first of the 6 days, until the flood. Okay? That big gap that's in there over on the left-hand side. Okay? So you see all that, and you see the line about a little more than halfway up. It's got a big white chunk on the front of it, longer than most. That's because Noah was a patient man. And Noah waited 400 years before he had his first son. Okay?
Wow.
And then... when he was 500 years old, he got a hobby in carpentry. Which ended with a very short but intense hobby in zoology. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So we can see all those. The next big double line over from the flood, we see it says at the bottom 1917, but remember this is BC, so we're going from 4,000 down the numbers. So it's about 2,000 years later, and that's roughly the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that area there. And the next double line over is the time of Moses and Joshua. So at that point, we're covering about 2,500 years. So we're poking out of the end of Genesis a little bit at that point in time and into the next books. So about halfway between those second two lines, right where we've got the name of Joseph in there, that's Genesis, right? Because the very end of Genesis, if we were to turn there right now and read about it, Joseph dies, okay? And then we pick up in the next book, Genesis. Thank you. I couldn't remember. And I ain't singing the song, and you ain't going to make me. And starts with a review of the 12 brothers and what they're doing and the hardship in Egypt. And then we go on from there, the people crying to God. And who's coming along at that point? Moses, okay? So very, very good. All right. Let's talk about some other concepts in time, if we can go on to the next slide. And we have the concept of before his time, not so much as somebody was advanced or they knew things that, you know, hadn't come into being yet, but more like somebody died before their time. Now, how many of you ever heard that phraseology used? Probably most of us. How many of you ever heard a phraseology, someone will talk about themselves and say, well, God knows when my time is coming. I'm not going to go a day sooner or a day later. Okay? Not until God, so you're going to act riotously foolish? That won't work. That won't work at all. If you look at Darwin Awards, it's filled with people that kind of thought that, all right? You don't want to be that way. You don't want to look that way. The term before his time is actually found a few places in Scripture, sometimes specifically with those words and sometimes conceptually with those words. The first one I mentioned is Job, and he's talking about somebody that does makes a lot of poor choices and a lot of bad things happen to him. And it specifically says, before his time, he will wither. It's not talking about becoming skinny and losing fruit. Okay? It's talking about passing away. The next reference there, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, it's talking about King Asa. And he, king over Judah, and was doing a lot of things, and in his 39th year of reign, he got a terribly debilitating foot disease. And then 2 years later, he died. But what it says about him that's interesting is that yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord. Instead, he followed the advice of his physicians. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with listening to a physician. I highly recommend it. Because you want to collect and you want to know the data. How many of you know that you can sometimes pray more effectively when you know the technical reasons that things are going along? Of course. Of course. So, but he didn't follow the physicians and take that to the Lord and say, hey, God, I've got diabetic nerve pain or whatever it was. No. No. He ignored the Lord. He didn't go that way at all. And because of that, the inference is he died before his time. Okay? Ecclesiastes 7:17. We're given specific instructions here and in Proverbs. Be not overly wicked. I always remember, how wicked can I be then? You know? Is there a line and I'm okay up to that point of wickedness, but I don't want to be, anyway. Be not overly wicked or foolish, Because if you do, you will die before your time. Well, that sounds like a good warning, doesn't it? Okay. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So the second half seems to be saying the same kind of thing as Ecclesiastes was, but it also goes the other way and says, hey, you can make your years longer. Anyone into longer years? Okay. Last of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29. So this is the section where it's talking about the Last Supper. And we very often recite the verses that are in this section of Scripture just a couple verses before this when we're partaking of the Last Supper. And it is discussing a warning about people who take the Last Supper, because some of them are eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. Their hearts are not right. They have something against someone, or they have some problem that they need to be dealing with. They need to go talk to someone, ask forgiveness, whatever it happens to be. Okay? And they're not doing that, and because of that, some of you are weak and sick, and some of you sleep. And again, this ain't nap time. This ain't nap time. This is death. So, do you have a time? Do you have an appointment? And if you do, can you change it? And I would say, according to Scripture, you betcha. Okay? You can. You can influence it. You can become part of what's going on there. Okay? Because you're a king's kid. You're a king's kid. Let's go on to the next concept. I think this is this is the worldview. So, another important thing about time is, you know, when can I do this? Well, when you're old enough, okay? And there's a few things that are like that. You can't become president of the United States until you're 35, okay? So, just know that, okay? Those of you who had plans, change accordingly, okay? So we'll hear the first thing. You have to wait until you're old enough. You have to wait until the world expects you to be there. Now, I'm not dissing or downplaying good parental or elderly advice. Everyone understand that? There are times and seasons when it is not wise to do things, and it will become wiser later to do things. So we're not discussing that. But we're talking about some other absolute limits, and maybe you don't really have to wait for those things. Also, the other extreme, which I think is even worse, you've waited too long. You are too old. Too old. When I came to work for Intel, it was a very, very young company when I met people and all that, and I was worried about coming there because I was about to turn 40 at the time. And I wasn't worried about my doing the work. I wasn't worrying about my being aggressive and able to succeed at things. Maybe stupidly I wasn't worrying about it, but I wasn't worried about it. Okay? And I had some faith, and I was all ready to grab the bull by the horns. But I was concerned about, what does a 40-year-old look like at Intel? And will that person be given the chances and the opportunities, or are they just trying to fill a quota system or something else? Pretty dumb filling a quota system with a middle-aged white guy, but you know, it does happen. Okay? It does happen. And I was assured that, no. We want to embrace. If you can do the job, we wanna have you here. And fortunately for me, I gambled that they could, and it has worked out well. Let's go to our next slide, please, Karen. All right. So that's what the world says. Let's look at the examples God gives us, okay? So we talked about Noah a little bit. Noah was how old when God started in building the ark, you know? Now, it says that, you know, Noah found pleasure, you know, pleasure in God. God, you know, looked around all the earth and, there's Noah, okay? So maybe he was a shoo-in for this, but I wouldn't have picked a 500-year-old guy for this. You know, I might have been talking to Noah's sons, you know. They're only 100. Spry chickens, you know. They can swing a hammer and carry gopher wood all day long, and you know, it would be a good thing. It would be a good thing. But God doesn't use that system. So Noah, by the time the flood came, he was 600 years old. Okay? Now, granted, this is an age and a time period where life expectancy was prolonged. But I'm sorry, 600 years, come on, really. That's hard work, okay? Next one, getting a little closer to the types of life expectancies we would accept as normal nowadays. Abraham and Sarah, okay? God makes this promise initially to Abraham, and Pastor Carlos has talked about this, when he is 75, okay? Boy, if I were God, I would have moved right then, you know? Because this guy ain't getting any younger, you know? But he waited until Noah was 99 to kind of cinch the deal. And Sarah, his wife, I mean, she was no spring chicken either at this point. She was 90, right? It doesn't seem like good planning, does it? Our ways are not God's ways. Okay? Noah was actually 100 by the time Isaac was born. He had a birthday. Moses, okay? So now life expectancies are moving down much closer to what we would expect as fairly normal today. And so there's Moses. He does the whole thing with the basket and the bulrushes and all that other good stuff, and he survives, and he comes to the Pharaoh's house, and he's growing, and he's prospering. And then when he hits the rightly sprite age of 40, God uses him, right? No, he goes out and murders someone. You know, what kind of a training program is that? You know, but this is what he does. He fears for his life. The Pharaoh of the time is going to capture him and kill him for murder. And so Moses flees. He flees to the high priest of Midian and lives there for 40 years more. So how old is Moses at this point? He's 80 years old. Okay? And God calls him, the whole burning bush deal and all that, and he complains he can't speak well and all that, but he does it. He comes to Egypt, the 10 plagues, all the other stuff. Then he starts taking the children of Israel into the desert time. And he, you know, he's probably there figuring, hey, this is no problem. We're going to cross over. We're going to go through here, cut across that, over there. We'll be there in a few weeks. Okay? And we know what happened with the 12 spies, right? And things may not have gone as Moses planned. And they spent how long in the desert? 40 more years. So by the end, and Moses didn't get to cross over into the promised land, by the end of this, he's 120 years old. Okay? No one else is close to that age. Okay? If we take out Caleb and Joshua, no one else can be over 60 in the entire group, because it says everyone else passed away that was 20 years old and older from the time that the spies created all the ruckus and the people of Israel went along with them. So 40 years, no more than 20 to begin with, nobody is over 60. Okay? Oh my goodness, I'm almost at it. Anyway, okay, Joshua and Caleb are the exception. They are probably considerably over 60. It tells us at the end how old Joshua was when he passed away. I don't think it tells us for Caleb. Again, I think it was about 110 for Joshua. It was in there. Okay, so can you be too old for God to use you for an energetic, adventurous, physically demanding? Doesn't really matter, does it? Because he's God. Okay. What's important for all of these guys is your heart. Your willingness. Let's go to the other extreme. Youngins. Okay? Youngins. So we'll start with, Joshua. I skipped Joshua. Just to say he was pretty old when he started too. Okay? and took over from Moses. And of course, he had a hard job. Moses, for the last 40 years, it was all about moving from one place to another, you know? They were part of REMAX, and they would just go from one place to another, you know, and for sale and all that stuff. Joshua, he had battles to fight. He had real work to do that way. Although, often the real work was an exercise in faith. It wasn't an exercise in muscle. It wasn't about tactics. It wasn't about strategy. It wasn't about arms. It was about faith. Youngins, Joseph. How old was Joseph when he started having the dreams and telling everyone about it and gets thrown in the hole? 14. Just 14 years old. Okay? So, again, does it make sense to our flesh that God would plan to save this entire critical family by using a 14-year-old to do it? But that's what God does. I'm kind of happy about that. Okay? I think we've all got a bigger chance than we thought we did because of that. Samuel. How old was Samuel when he started his ministry? Yeah, whatever weaning is, I don't know, you know, how long, was it Hannah that it was the mom? And as soon as Samuel was weaned, she gave him over to Eli. Okay, so, I'm figuring one or two, maybe somewhere, I've got different numbers being flashed at me, this is great, I just, I wish this was an auction. Sold! You know, you're going to get that anyway. Samuel was young. He was so young that the Bible points out kind of the incredibleness of it, that he performed the duties of the priests. He wore an ephod and was just like the other ones. And then we're not certain how old he was, although our understanding is he was still very young when he started to prophesy, when God started talking to him at night and more and more things, and it grew and expanded from that. So, kind of neat, huh? Kind of neat. Last one. David, okay? Not sure how old David was, but he had seven brothers. He was the eighth brother, okay? Not sure what the ages were, but only the oldest three were in the army. Okay? And the next four were not. And then Jesse, David's father, sent them, David, to go and bring food and bring back news about what's going on. Okay, come and tell me. You didn't rely on Brian Williams in those days, okay? When you wanted news, you went and got it yourself, okay? You sent your kid out and hopefully they told the truth when they came back. So, David was part of that. He was anointed to be king. It was kind of hush-hush, you know. Even Samuel expresses, I'm a little scared to do this because Saul will kill me. Okay? How do you think David felt? Okay? And then he gets picked as Saul's armor bearer. Okay? Because he was fairly strong and capable. We remember the lion, we remember the bear, and all that other stuff there. And he evidently could plunk a good tune and had a pretty singing voice, okay? And that worked well for Saul because he was being tormented all the time in spirit. And then we have the whole Goliath thing. And again, we don't have a specific age. There's a lot of estimates that are on there. But in the scripture, Saul refers to him as an excuse of why he can't do this. No, because you are only a youth. You are only a youth. You're a youngin'. You can't be doing this. Okay? Now, we also realize in particular, Goliath was very tall. Everyone got that? The weaver's beam and all that other stuff? All right. Oh, he's saying terrible things about the God of Israel and blaspheming and all this stuff. Gee, Who should go and stop him? Who's the tallest here among us? It was Saul. It was Saul. So double was his embarrassment. Okay? God loves to play with stuff like that, doesn't he? Just like, whew, I wouldn't have touched that, you know, but God is quite wonderful there. And he goes out and he slays Goliath and, you know, is able to dispatch him. And the entire battle is won because of that. Okay? The Philistines get scared and they run. And the Israelis get courage and they run after him. Okay? Funny how that works. Funny how that works. Here's the important thing from all this. Don't put yourself in a box. Because God's not putting us in boxes. Okay? If you feel that the Lord is putting something on your heart, you know, by all means, pray about it. Seek the Lord for further guidance. Talk to other people who you know and can trust because they're strong in the Lord. But don't just say no and prevent yourself from going that way out of sorts. Okay? You need to be pursuing these things because that's what the boss wants. And you can do it with his help and his power. We're a long way from Genesis now. Thank you.